It is party time for the Grants Pass Museum of Art this weekend. The museum celebrates its Black, White, and the Blues fundraiser Saturday night. It's time to look to the future and a chance to celebrate the past. The Grants Pass Museum of Art comes from humble beginnings to get to where it is today. Let's talk about past, present, and future. Bea Bantug is a member of the museum and an artist and also a member of the Black, White, and Blues Committee. Hi, Bea. Bea, are you there?
Good morning.
Hi, good to have you.
Hello there, Jeff. Good morning, and good morning to all your listeners.
Well, thanks for the greeting. How long have you been connected to the museum yourself, Bea?
Say that again, sorry.
How long have you been connected to the museum yourself?
Oh, yes. On my second year in Grants Pass, I started to explore what are the cultural things that I could participate in the city. And so I approached the museum at that time, which was in 2013, and I offered my to be a part of the volunteer team. And that's how long I've been officially connected with the museum. And prior to that, as a new resident of the city, I, of course, have been attending all their wonderful events throughout my first year in Grants Pass.
I understand that the beginnings of the Grants Pass Museum of Art are fairly humble.
Oh, pretty much. They had a very small second floor location at one of the buildings, very close to where they are right now, which is in the heart of the old historic town on G Street. And they had a very small 20 by 24 feet room, and that's how they started. But by 1979, they had decided to incorporate and set it up as a museum. And at the time that it was established, the Grants Pass Museum of Art was one of only four art museums in the whole state of Oregon. And today there are, I think, about twice as many, with a whole bunch of them really being in Portland. About 20 years, they had moved out from that small space and was hosted by the city of Grants Pass right in the center of Riverside Park. So they've always been integrated with the community and had served as the visitors from a leased building in the center of the Riverside Park. About 1998, I think, is when they started and bought a new building, which is the two-story, 8,000-square-foot building that they are housed in right now. And it's a beautiful building. It's on the historical society lists, and so they have right now it's still relatively small if you think about museum sizes in different cities. They occupy 4,000 square foot up on the top of this second two-story building, but small as they are, Grants Pass Museum actually present outstanding exhibitions and art education programs that really is quite in disproportion to its physical size.
It's interesting to think of it being so small at the beginning, less than 500 square feet, and now considerably larger than that, but, you know, still a reasonably modest-sized thing. And, of course, the other set of numbers, as you point out, that's really fascinating is that it was one of four art museums in the state of Oregon at the time. Obviously, there were galleries as well, but it seems hard to believe.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there were galleries at that time, too. Mm-hmm.
And so what are some of the things that get displayed at the Grants Pass Museum of Art? Is it all artists from Josephine County, or is it people from other parts of the world, a mixture thereof?
Well, as small as it is, surprisingly, and this is one of the, we are so proud about the efforts that they do, the exhibitions are outstanding, and they draw from a larger community of international artists. They draw from national institutions of art in the U.S. And regionally, it has served as a focal platform for artists throughout the Southern Oregon region. And of course, you know, in the local community, it has helped, you know, blossom all this new artists that come to town. Grants Pass, as I found out, being here only the past 3 years, has a tremendous talent of creatives living and thriving in this small city. But for the museum itself, you'd be surprised that they have drawn really great, outstanding artists. They've had Judy Chicago, for example, who was the very first one to have done feminist art in the 70s. They've presented Andy Warhol, and every 3 years or so, the winning entries of the American Watercolor Society is presented and featured in an exhibit at the museum. They do unusual medium and the characters that they draw from include things such as the original art from comic and cartoon artists. They had presented, for example, Charles Schulz Peanut original art, and every now and then they also have done quilt shows. That is not your mother's quilt.
something a little more modern.
So the effort is to bring in stellar artists and art that would provide an experience that is really stimulating, as well as very intriguing and exciting, and would bring joy to the spirit, which is the museum's mission.
Bea Bantug is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She's a member of the Grants Pass Museum of Art. We're talking about what goes on at the Grants Pass Museum and also about this weekend's fundraiser, the Black, White, and Blues fundraiser coming up Saturday night. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Questions, comments, maybe you've got some stories of your own to tell about the Grants Pass Museum of Art. Join us at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760, anywhere in our listening area, or send your emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So tell us, you're part of the committee as well for the Black, White, and Blues. Tell us a bit about the event.
Oh, it's an exciting event. It's a really rocking event. It's the premier fundraising, first of all, fundraising event for the museum. They do several events throughout the year, but the premier one where they actually have an attendance of about 300 people, and it's widely supported by artists, residents, businesses, and local organizations far and wide within the region itself, not just from Grants Pass. So there's two sections of the auction itself. There is a silent auction where very different types of services, goodies, you know, much sought after items, are presented and donated by different, again, organizations and individuals from the region. And that goes on for about the first half of the evening. Once it's closed, then the live auction begins. There are about 30 to 31 original art from different artists that are donated and are auctioned off throughout the evening. After these art, of course, were presented, as well as the silent auction items, were shown and displayed at the museum the month before. So till about a week ago, those same items were available on view at the museum.
Was that to whet the appetite of the potential auction folks so they could get a look at the stuff might
exactly.
be buying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And also to get participation from the community. They're able to, vote for their choice art or choice artist. So there's a People's Choice Award. that happens from the group of different art that's shown at the museum and donated for the event. And that particular chosen art becomes the poster for the following year. Now, there's a don't host bar, there's hors d'oeuvres available throughout the evening. And after the auction ends, there is dancing, which is part of the whole excitement about Black, White, and the Blues, which started 28 years ago. It's now their 28th year this year. And throughout all this year, they've had great musicians play as the highlight band for the evening. Last year, it was Chris Delgado. There was C.C. James at one time. So this year, we're having Love Bite, which features Jeff Bivar. A lot of the local folks know Jeff Bivar. He is right from this region, I believe.
And Inger Jorgensen as well on lead vocals, yeah.
Yes, and the lead vocal as well. The whole event is a celebration of the community and their way they participate in the thriving art and art experience in the whole community.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it works out.
All right, we have a call here.
We would like to invite everybody to, if they could call in and check about tickets. The sitting is rather limited, but they're welcome to call in and find out if tickets are still available at this midnight hour.
All right, but there are still some left potentially. Let's take a call here. We have Phyllis in Grants Pass on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Bea Bantug from the Grants Pass Museum of Art.
Hi.
Hi, Phyllis.
Hi. Yes, I don't want to forget the wonderfully colorful history of the museum from the time that the museum was located in Riverside Park.
Mm-hmm.
And the city decided that it needed to vet anything that was shown because it was called the Grants Pass Museum of Art and was located on city property. And the artists just rebelled and said, no, we need to be a proper art museum, which means that we view things on the basis of the, you know, the worthiness of the art and, you know, the city's idea of what may be moral is not to be a question. And, you know, it was nothing wild and crazy, but, you know, just really they wanted to be a proper museum. And the name of Medora Nankervis was kind of at the top of this list. She was an artist who passed on a few years ago. And always was a great supporter of local art and local artists. And so I think that name should not be forgotten. And anyway, that's why we have a proper museum in a prime in prime real estate in downtown Grants Pass, and it is a lovely place. And they do have delightful, interesting shows.
Phyllis, in the years of city vetting, was anything actually censored or kept out of the Grants Pass Museum of Art?
I don't know. As far as I know, I don't know that anything was really vetted per se. It came up. It seemed to have come up around some piece or some exhibit in particular, and I don't remember what the work or the artist was, but all of a sudden, I think it had to do a lot with the mayor at the time, mm-hmm. Who was at least the spokesperson and came on very strong, and at that time, you know, the artists got together and, you know, felt, you know, we're powerless, what can we do? And they just continued to meet, and finally they said, you know, even if it means crashing our whole enterprise, we've got to stand up with what we think is right in terms of, you know, what, how we're presenting ourselves as an art museum. And that's my knowledge. I'm outside of the museum. I'm an interested observer.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Phyllis, thanks for sharing the story. It's an interesting thing to remember, and I do have a faint glimmer of that happening, and which is why, of course, the Grants Pass Museum of Art is now a nonprofit, to be found at gpmuseum.com. B, is any of your artwork currently on display at the museum? B. Bantug?
I'm sorry?
Is any of your artwork currently on display there?
First of all, thanks for that insight. I wouldn't have heard of that, except for being at this show today. Yes, I had donated art for last year's Black, White, and the Blues, as well as this year's Black, White, and the Blues. I sure do, yes.
All right. Well, it's good to be able to talk to you about the event Black, White, and the Blues coming up on Saturday night. Apparently still some tickets available. Contact the museum, gpmuseum.com. B. Bantug is a member of the museum and a volunteer with the Black, White, and Blues Committee and an artist herself. B., thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jeff. I would also like to give them the phone number, if that would be a more convenient way to
quickly.
Go.
Quickly, yes, 541.
The number to call is 541-479-3290.
3290, 479-3290.
Right.
Thanks so much again.